بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فأتت به قومها تحمله قالوا يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا يا أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء وما كانت أمك بغيا فأشارت إليه قالوا كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبيا قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وبرا بوالدتي ولم يجعلني جبارا شقيا والسلام علي يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حيا ذلك عيسى بن مريم قول الحق الذي فيه يمترون صدق الله العظيم. Respected listeners, the verses which I've recited are the next set of verses of Surah Maryam, which inshallah will cover the tafsir and the meaning of these verses from verse 27 to verse 34. Now, just to quickly recap, in the previous lessons and so far in Surah Maryam, we've covered that when Maryam alayhi salam was visited by Jibreel alayhi salam in the form of a strange but handsome person. And initially she was startled, she was scared, she didn't know what to expect. But then when Jibreel alayhi salam said to her that I've come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then she realized that no, this is not a strange person that has come with ill intentions, rather it's an angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he came with some good news. And this good news was that she was going to have a son. Now, as a result of this, the conversation happened between between Maryam alayhi salam and Jibreel alayhi salam, which we've covered. And she became pregnant. And when she got to the stage where she couldn't hide it any longer, because don't forget, she was not married. She had no relations with anybody, with any male. And she knew that this will have some sort of implications in terms of rumors will spread, people will say things to her, possibly to her son, possibly to her parents, and even back to her lineage, to her teacher, Zakariya alayhi salam, and ultimately maybe even to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what she did is she went far away. She left the place where she was living and she went to a far away place named Bethlehem, Baytul Laham. And she stayed there for some time, and it was there that she delivered Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And when she was experiencing the labor pains, she was on the latter part of her pregnancy, she took support and she leaned against a tree. And Jibreel alayhi salam called to her from a distance and he said to her, shake the tree and fresh ripe dates will fall down, despite the fact that it was not date season, it was the winter season. But even then, through the miracle and the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dates started to fall, fresh, ripe, juicy, nice dates. And then Jibreel alayhi salam hit the ground with his heel and a small spring of water appeared. And she was told, you can drink from it, you could have from the fruit, etc. So we covered this, and we covered the wisdom behind why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided dates for her as a fruit. He could have provided any type of fruit, yet he provided dates. So we covered last week, the week before, the some of the wisdoms why dates are beneficial, especially for women who are in their pregnancy. So now she's delivered the child. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't go into detail about this, because it's not relevant here. But then in the next verses, the verses which I recited just now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَتَدْ بِهِ قَوْبَهَا تَحْمِلُهُ. So then she came back to her people, carrying him, carrying Isa alayhi salam. He's a little baby now. قالوا يا مريم, so they said, O Maryam, لقد جئت شيئا فريا, you have committed something grave indeed. Now, the scholars, they mention, some mention that she didn't return immediately after delivering Isa alayhi salam. She stayed there for a while, the postnatal period, 40 days. And then after that, she went back to her people. And remember, she was all on her own. And word got round that Maryam alayhi salam is back. And even when she had left, obviously people had noticed that Maryam alayhi salam is no longer to be seen. She was always in her private chamber, doing in the service of the masjid, doing the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people had noticed. People asked Yusuf, the carpenter, that do you know what's happened about Maryam alayhi salam? He said, I don't really know. So she came back and now she's carrying a baby. She's got a little child. And people started saying things to her, leveling accusations to her. Those people who knew how pious she was, they expressed sadness and sorrow that something had happened like this. You know, an unmarried woman, and now she's got a child. Obviously, people were thinking the worst. And those people who didn't like her, they started accusing her. What did they say? قَالُوا يَا مَرْيَمُ لَقَدْ جِئْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. Now, Maryam, you have committed something grave, something outrageous. The word فَرِيًّا in Arabic literally means to cut or split something open. And it can also mean something which is very significant, significant event, something important, something really outrageous, out of the normal. And it can be, the word fariyan can be used in a negative context and a positive context. Obviously, over here, they're using it in the negative context, saying what you've done is something really bad, indescribable. You're supposed to be an example for other people, a pious woman in the service of the masjid. So they started saying this to her. Maulana Abdul Rahim Sabi writes in his tafsir that when all of this was going on, people had gathered around Maryam alayhi salam. And you know, there's this baby, she's got a child, etc. Obviously, these types of rumors, they spread quickly. So people were gathering towards her. And there was a woman present who was accusing her. And she went to lift her arm up to hit her, to strike Maryam alayhi salam because of what she had done. And immediately her arm froze, meaning she couldn't put her arm back down. This was a punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another person, he said, this can only have happened through fornication, meaning he was accusing her of fornication. As soon as he said this, again the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came onto him and he was never able to speak again. He was unable to, the power of speech was taken away from him as a result, immediately. But even then the accusations kept coming. People started saying things. So first it was to Allah, لَقَدْ جِئْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. You have done something really bad. This is something really outrageous. What you have done is unacceptable. Then after that, what happens? They turn to other people in terms of trying to remind her that how grave this is. They said, يَا أُخْتَ هَارُونَ. O sister of Harun, مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ مْرَأَ سَوْءٍ. Neither your father was a man of evil. وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيًّا. And your mother was not unchaste. Now they started to remind her of her family now. Now the first thing that they said was, O sister of Harun. They didn't address her as Maryam over here. They said, O sister of Harun. So who is Harun over here? So the ulama, the commentators, they've given various interpretations. Some say that it refers to Harun alayhi salam, the brother of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam's brother who also assisted him. When Musa alayhi salam was granted prophethood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him that you have to go to Fir'aun. You have to go to Fir'aun and tell him what he's doing is wrong. So Musa alayhi salam said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I need help. I can't do this on my own. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, take Harun with you, your brother. Harun alayhi salam. He was also made a prophet. So he took him. So there, some mention that this refers to Harun alayhi salam, i.e. the brother and companion of Musa alayhi salam. But obviously Harun alayhi salam died a long time ago. There's a long gap between Harun alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam. So where's the connection? Where's the connection? So we learn from a hadith. There's a hadith of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent a sahabi by the name of Mughira bin Shu'ba radiyallahu anhu, that he sent him as a representative of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the people of Najran. He sent him there. So these people, when he went there, those people questioned, they asked him different questions to Mughira bin Shu'ba, you know, possibly about Islam, etc., etc. Now one of the things that they asked him, they said that in the Qur'an, this is what you read. You read in the Qur'an, Ya Ukhta Haruna, إِنَّكُمْ تَقْرَؤُونَ يَا أُخْتَ هَارُونَ, that you read in the Qur'an, يَا أُخْتَ هَارُونَ, referring to this verse. وَمُوسَى قَبْلَ عِيسَى بِكَذَا وَكَذَا. However, Musa alayhi salam was even before Isa alayhi salam by so many years. So where's the connection? Now, Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'ba radiallahu anhu, he didn't have an answer. So he remained silent, he didn't know what to say. So afterwards, he went back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he returned back on his journey, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "This is what these people ask me. They said we read in the Quran, Ya Ukhta Harun, yet Harun alaihi wasallam came way before Isa alaihi wasallam. So why I didn't know what to say to them. I had no answer, so I had to stay quiet. So what is it?" So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Then you should have said to them that in previous times, in previous nations, people used to give names of their ancestors, and keep their names after the prophets, previous prophets that long ago passed away. Why did they used to do this? Because they were pious. Also, there was the expectation that by keeping their name or their son's name, whatever, after a prophet, then maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place some of their qualities in this person. And in that way, they used to establish this connection. Now we can relate to this. In our deen, we are told to keep good names for our children. We are told to keep names of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Why? And if we do keep the names of Sahaba radiallahu anhum for our children, then we should remind them as well. We should remind them, we should say that, look, when they get a bit older, when they're understanding, you should say, you know, your name is after this Sahabi. Do you know who this Sahabi was? Do you know what he was like, what his qualities were? And if we explain to them that, you know, this Sahabi was like this, he did these great things, it might inspire the child. It may inspire the child to try and live up to that name. So we can relate to this type of thing. Other scholars have mentioned that Maryam alayhi salam, she actually had a brother by the name of Harun alayhi salam. She actually had a brother by the name of Harun alayhi salam, and he was also she had a brother by the name of Harun, and he was named after obviously a prophet because he was very pious, and this was a common practice in that time. Imam Tabarani, another mufassir, he mentions that in that time, in that age, in the time of Maryam alayhi salam, there was a person in that locality, in the community, by the name of Harun, who didn't have a good reputation. He didn't have a good reputation. So they called her Ukhta Harun, meaning that your evil deed, what you've done, is just like that other person. You're just his brother, you're just his sister. Because trying to make the connection of his evil deed to the evil deed of Maryam alayhi salam. In other words, they said, Ya Ukhta Harun, not as a praise or to identify her, but also to make a mockery of her. To make it almost like an accusation that you are like that person. So in this way they called her Ya Ukhta Haruna. What did they say? They brought her father into it now. Ma kana abuki imra'a saw'in. Okay, you've done a bad deed. But they started to remind her, you know, your dad wasn't like this. Your father wasn't like this. Ma kana abuki imra'a saw'in. He wasn't an evil person. He wasn't a bad person. Meaning to make her feel even more guilty. to make her feel even more guilty. وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيًّا. And your mother, she wasn't unchaste. بَغِيًّا, we covered the word بَغِيًّا before in Surah Maryam as well. That بَغِيًّا, one meaning of بَغِيًّا is prostitute. So they're saying, your mother was not like this. She never did all this type of ill deeds, etc. Now, the ulama also mentioned over here that obviously they were reminding her that you're supposed to be pious because your parents were pious. Your mother was good, your father was good. And the scholars, they mentioned that if a person does have ancestors, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, etc., who are good, who are pious, who have good character, then you should also try to live up to it. You should also try to live up to that reputation. They were pious, they performed salah, etc. You shouldn't just think, you know, they're long gone, they're all there, who cares about them, I'll do what I want. No, we should live up, because they led a pious life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should also try and live up to that same piety, if not more. Because the Mufti Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, for instance, is Mufassir, he mentions that one of the reasons that pious people should make extra, meaning pious people should make extra effort in the performance of good deeds, and they should also fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. Why? Because again, taking account of their lineage, because otherwise people will say to them, that, oh, you know, your father always used to come for salah. You don't even come to the masjid. And not only are you ruining your name, you're also ruining your parents' name. Something which they cannot defend. They may be passed away. They did all the good deeds. And if they were to see you doing these types of deeds, would they be happy? No. Obviously not. So a person should think of these types of things. So they started reminding her that, you know, your mother wasn't like this, your parents were, your father wasn't like this. So what did Maryam alayhi salam do? What did she do? فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. She pointed, she gestured towards Isa alayhi salam. Remember, Isa alayhi salam, at this moment in time, he's a little baby, possibly 40 days old. That's all. Just a month old baby. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. She gestured, pointed towards the baby. قالوا, so the people said, كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبيا, that how can we talk to a baby who is in the cradle? Now, why did she do this? Why did she point to the child? Because previously, if we remember, when Jibreel alayhi salam came to her, when Jibreel alayhi salam came to her, he told her that after you deliver the child, when you go back, if you see anybody, what are you supposed to do? Don't talk to anybody. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَا. Don't talk to anybody. Don't talk to any human being. So this is why she did this here. Now, we have to understand this from her point of view. We have to understand the situation from Maryam alayhi salam's point of view. Why? Because can you imagine, this is a woman. She's had this happen to her. She's not married, and she's had a child. Going through a pregnancy is not an easy thing. It's the most difficult thing. And not only that, she had to leave her family, leave her community to go and deliver the baby. She's all on her own. That's the time when a mother needs the most support. And then after that, even when she comes back, even after having the baby, even after having the baby and coming back, she still needs support. She still needs support. She needs a lot of support. Physical support, emotional support. Many women, they suffer from postnatal stress. It's a very common thing. Very, very common. So Maryam alayhi salam is coming back to her family, to her home, where any normal woman would get normal and extra physical, emotional support. You know, the whole routine is changed. Her life is going around the baby. If anyone's had a child, when the child is small, you know what it's like in the house. Everything revolves around the child. Doesn't your routine is out of the window. You're sleeping, time is out of the window. Your eating time is out of the window. Everything revolves around the child. Everything. Your whole life. Especially the smaller they are. This is how she was. She needed additional support. Yet, She comes home and people are accusing her. People are giving her a hard time. Imagine what, how she was feeling deep inside. But what we also learn from here is how strong her faith was in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did she complain? No, she didn't. She didn't complain. Because she knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed her in this position, and she knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect her and look after and safeguard her. She had this faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She could have straight away said back and replied in the spur of the moment, you know, in a moment of anger. But she was patient. She was patient. She had taken the oath. She had been told, she had been instructed not to speak to anyone. So she stuck to that. And she just pointed to the child. And that's not an easy thing to do. That is a very difficult thing to do. Yet she was, she persevered and she was steadfast. So she points to the child. Now obviously the people, they're all accusing her. And when she points to the first thing, they're just absolutely flabbergasted. They think, you know, what are you pointing to the child for? What's the child, what are you going to expect us to talk to the child now? This is just a month old. What are we supposed to do? كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِي صَبِيَّةِ The word mahdi in Arabic, one meaning, as is normally translated, means the cradle. You know how we have, when we put like a basket, Moses' basket, etc. That would be called mahd. That's one meaning of mahd today. It can also mean that the child's lap, the mother's lap, where a child is placed when it's small. That's also known as mahd. So what happened? They said, Isa alayhi salam, you know, he's just a small child. How are we supposed to speak to him? Now, Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions that when all this commotion was going on, so all these people, lots of noise, people accusing Maryam alayhi salam about her parents, this, that, whatever. And Zakariya alayhi salam, he found out there's all this commotion coming on. Zakariya alayhi salam, her teacher, Maryam alayhi salam's teacher, he found out that, you know, these people are giving Maryam alayhi salam a hard time and she's going to this big commotion. So he came rushing out and he saw that Maryam alayhi salam, and she's got a little child with her. So what did he do? He went up and he went up to Isa alayhi salam. She's just a baby. And he went up to this baby and he said to Isa alayhi salam that if you are ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then testify to your reality. Now he's talking to a 40-day-old child, this little baby. He comes and says this to him. In Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions that many scholars have said that when all of this commotion was taking place, at that moment and time, Maryam alayhi salam was suckling Isa alayhi salam, suckling the baby. And when Isa alayhi salam, he heard this, remember he's only a child, he's only a baby, he heard this. So he stopped suckling and he faced the other way, faced towards the people. And he lifted his index finger of his right hand, and he said, Qala, the verses are, Inni Abdullah. 40-day-old baby, small baby. Inni Abdullah. I am the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Atani al-kitaba. He gave me the book. Waja'alani nabiyya. And he made me a prophet. Waja'alani mubarakan aynama kuntu. And he made me blessed wherever I am, wherever I may be. Wa'usani bis-salati wa-zakati ma dumtu hayya. And he has instructed me, he has ordained me, enjoined upon me to perform salah and to give zakah as long as I am alive. وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي And to be obedient to my mother. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا And he has not made me oppressive or ill-fated. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ Blessing, peace be upon me on the day I was born. وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ And the day I will die. وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيَّا And the day I will be raised alive again. Now he said this and he went back to circling. That was it. Now obviously everyone was, you know, totally surprised. This child is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a small child like this would testify and say such things. Now if we just analyze, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Isa alayhi salam speak about these specific things? And these are his attributes. These few things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him say, he was describing his characteristics, his attributes. And there's a reason behind these attributes as well, and why these particular things are mentioned. First of all, what does he say? Inni Abdullah. I am the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By saying this right in the beginning, the first thing, he makes it clear that his birth was miraculous. His birth was totally out of the ordinary. And also, if he is Abdullah, Abd means servant of Allah. If he is Abdullah, then he cannot be God. He cannot be a God. He cannot be son of Allah. He is Abdullah. He makes it clear. He says it with himself, Abdullah. And Abd means to be a servant. And if somebody is a servant, obviously he's the servant of a master. He's the servant of a master. And a God can never have a master. A God is the master. God has servants. Whereas Isa alayhi salam is saying, I am the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says with his own words, he proves to his own people. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that a time will come, a day will come, when people will say, Isa alayhi salam is God. Isa alayhi salam is son of God, etc. So to right from the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear on the tongue of Isa alayhi salam, and not just when he's older, but when he's a child, when he's a baby, when children don't speak at that age. As a miracle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveyed this message to the people, Inni Abdullah, that I am a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Atani al-kitaba, that he has given me the book. Which book? Is referring to the Injil. Now obviously at that point in time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hadn't given him the book because he was still a baby. He received prophethood afterwards. But what it means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the book afterwards. And this again, one of the things that we find in some of these verses is the Arabic words, they're all mentioned in the past tense. So, Atani al-Kitaba, he has given me the book in the past tense. But has Allah given him the book yet? No, he hasn't. The book is going to happen in the future. وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا And he has made me the prophet. Has he made him a prophet yet? No, that's going to happen afterwards. But in the Arabic language, what happens, one of the things that we find is words, when they are used in the past tense, when they haven't happened yet, it means that that is definitely going to happen. Just like something has already happened in the past tense. So this is, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prophesizing that this child, this baby, is going to grow up to become a Nabi. This child is going to grow up to become my prophet. This child is going to grow up and I am going to give him a book, a divine book, a book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, this further corroborates the message that he's not a God. Because if he was a God, he's not going to be made a prophet. He wouldn't be given a book. This is not the job for a God. So again, further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through him, he mentions this. وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا And he made me a prophet. Now, if a person is a prophet, a prophet is always free from any blemishes, any faults, anything that's not right. Now if he is a prophet, then that means he's not a product of fornication. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves through this miraculous birth that not only is he a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also through this, he proves the chastity once again of Maryam alayhi salam. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ And he has made me blessed wherever I go, wherever I am. What this means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable people to benefit from Isa alayhi salam wherever he is. Wherever he is, people will take benefit from him. Some scholars, they mention that Mubarakan here, it means that one who instructs good, one who stops people from evil, one who shows people, one who guides people, those who have gone astray, the one who guides them, is the person, Mubarakan here refers to, that he will help those people who are oppressed. And this is exactly what he did. When he was alive, people took benefit from him. وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained me and commanded me to perform salah and to give zakat as long as I am alive. Now, أَوْصَانِي, the word comes from the word أَوْصَى, which means, comes from wasiyah. Wasiyah is a will. When a person bequeaths something in his will, saying, I leave this for this person, etc. But in the Arabic language, it's also used to instruct, to give a command. But when it's used, when this word is used to instruct somebody, it means with emphasis. It means I instruct with emphasis. Now, salah and zakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two ibadahs here. We know what these are. Salah, performing salah, giving zakat, giving money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, these are two types of ibadat which were also present in the previous ummats as well. They also had the instruction that they must perform salah. They also had the instruction that they must give zakat. However, the details, the method, the rulings, they had their own set of rulings. They used to perform salah, but how did they used to perform salah? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, we don't know. We have five salah, duhar, fajr, zuhar, asr, maghrib, isha. They may have other type of salah, but they did have some sort of salah. And similarly, even with zakat, they did have some sort of zakat system as well, to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What form it was, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told, is instructing Isa alayhi salam, وَأَوْصَانِي Isa alayhi salam said, وَأَوْصَانِي He's instructed me to give, perform salah and to give zakat. And this further shows that he is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing a prophet that you must perform salah, then obviously the rest of his people will have to as well. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you must do these things, so the ummah has to do it as well. We find many verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directing and addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it applies to the whole ummah. Doesn't just apply to him, it applies to everybody. So here as well, it's applying to himself, i.e. Isa alayhi salam, but also applies to the people as well. Similarly, with zakat. Now we know with regards to zakat, in our shariat, a person only has to give zakat when he reaches the nisab, when he has a certain amount of wealth, 2.5%, he has to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Isa alayhi salam, we know about Isa alayhi salam that he was not wealthy. He wasn't wealthy. In fact, he didn't even build his own house. He used to travel a lot. He never used to stay in the same place for very long. He used to travel around a lot, preaching to people, etc. So he was not wealthy. He was not rich. But even he was instructed that, no, if you do have the wealth, for instance, if they had some sort of nisab system, then if you get to that wealth, then zakat is farz upon you as well. So again, this also shows that he was not a god, but he was bound by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only servants are bound by laws. وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي And he has also instructed me to be obedient to my mother. بِوَالِدَتِي To my mother. Now, obviously he only mentions his mother again to further show that he doesn't have a father. to prove to the people that this is a miraculous birth, is a birth which occurs with only the mother and no fatherly input. With no fatherly input. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا, and he has not made me oppressive or ill-fated. Now, with regards to وَبَرًّا بِوَالَدِي, obedient to my mother, scholars also mention that by him being obedient to his mother also shows the importance of obedience to one's mother. Obedience to parents is important as well. Over here, because there's no father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions only the mother. And this shows the importance of the child being obedient to his mother. Even though now in this case is what we would call in today's day and age, a single parent family. A single parent family. There's no father there. There's no father. There's only the mother. But the child still has to be obedient to the parents. And this is something with regards to respect for the parents, obedience to the parents. Extremely important, very big part of our deen. Very big part of our deen, the parents, obedience to parents. And it's something that which we are losing day by day. Especially the children of today, losing day by day. And it's something as parents, as elders, it's something that we should try to teach and inculcate within our children from a young age, a very young age, because there's lots of other influences out there, and we have to try and show them the importance and teach them the importance. Teach them the importance with love and on how to obey the parents, the khidmat of the parents, service to the parents, how important this is, because khidmat of parents will take you to Jannah. If you keep your father happy, that will keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy. If your father is angry with you, Allah automatically becomes angry with you. The door to Jannah is the parents. If you break that door, how are you going to get into Jannah? So these are the type of things that we have to understand. Also, this thing with regards to khidmat, doing service, you know, especially to one's parents, is something again, you know, especially the younger generation, they don't have this of serving other people, because there's a very selfish nature nowadays, unfortunately, a very selfish nature. And when one person does khidmat for his parents, then this extends to grandparents, to uncles, to other people, to teachers, etc. And what this happens, it creates humility within a person. It creates humbleness, it creates love. It drives away selfishness. And also having consideration for other people. Something which we lack today. Something which we lack today. Something very important that we need to pay attention of. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا, and he didn't make me oppressive. جَبَّارًا literally means to have pride that I'm better than other people. Or جَبَّارًا can also mean that one who hurts others. One who kills others, hurts others in a state of anger. Again, this is very common today. Knife crime, so many cases, it's recently in Coventry. You don't even have to go to London and in other parts. Just look at in our own city. Knife crime, etc. Jabbaran, this is what it is. And a person has so much hate within them and no consideration for other people, it drives the person towards this behavior. Isa alayhi salam was not like this. Jabbaran, shaqiyan means someone who is deprived of any good. Someone who is deprived of any good and someone who is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disobedient to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a picture. He's painting us a picture of what Isa alayhi salam is like. What sort of qualities did he have? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his qualities and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions is at this particular point. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention at this particular point? Because before this, we learned about how pious Maryam alayhi salam was. The piety of Maryam alayhi salam was an introduction to Isa alayhi salam. The piety of Maryam alayhi salam, the introduction to that was Yahya alayhi salam and Zakariya alayhi salam. And that was right from the beginning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is painting us this picture, a huge canvas, that you know, this family, this lineage is not just ordinary. They're all full of pious people, full of people and individual, amazing individuals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them amazing qualities. And this is, you know, all of these generations, and this is who Isa alayhi salam is. This is who Isa, because people will point the finger at Isa alayhi salam. On the one hand, you'll have the Christians, the Nasara, that they will elevate this, they will have almost what you can call too much respect for Isa alayhi salam, that they will elevate his status to God. And you say, he's God, too much. And then you have the other extreme, the Jews, who had nothing but hatred for Isa alayhi salam. Nothing but hatred, always accusing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paints this picture of balance, that Isa alayhi salam, he was a great person. He had all these beautiful characteristics, but at the end of the day, he was Abdullah. At the end of the day, he was the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of the day, he also had to perform salah like everybody else. He also had to give zakah. And he was bound by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, his mother was pure, his mother was chaste. He had a good family, she had a good teacher. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paints this whole picture for us. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمُ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيًّا. This is the final statement of Isa alayhi salam. What does he say? That peace upon me the day I was born, the day I will die, and the day that I will be raised alive again. The three most critical points of a person's existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ensured peace, wassalam. Peace means protection from all evil. One meaning is protection. Peace can mean peace of mind, peace of heart, but salam can also mean protection. This is why when we say assalamu alaykum, you're making dua for the person. It's not just like greeting, like we have hi, good morning, etc. Or even in Arabic, marhaba. And in other languages, whatever form of greeting, is not just a greeting. It's a dua. You're making dua for the person. That assalamu alaykum, that may peace be upon you in all ways, that you are happy, you have peace of mind, you have peace of heart, that Allah protect you. Allah protect you from evils. So here as well, when he was born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. What does it mean when he was born that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him? Because from the hadith we learn that when a child is born, shaitan pokes at that child. Shaitan, he tries to influence the child. Shaitan pokes at that child. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Isa alayhi salam from shaitan, right from the beginning. وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ, and the day I will die. The day I will die. Scholars have mentioned that, I mean, we know at this moment and time that our belief with regards to Isa alayhi salam is that he is not dead, he's alive. He's in the heavens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him in the heavens. And our belief is that near to the end of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send him down again and he will be part of this ummah. He will be part of this ummah. And then he will die a normal death. And he will be buried. But where will he be buried? Where will he be buried? He will be buried from what, again, from our belief that we know from the hadith, from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in Madinatul Munawwara, where the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, and then next to that Abu Bakr radiallahu an, next to that Hazrat Umar radiallahu an, and then there's one extra space there. That extra space is for Isa alayhi salam. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وَلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ. What better protection can a person have than if he's buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It can't be no better protection. It's the best place on earth to be buried, next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيَّا. Then, and even on the Day of Judgment, which again is the next most critical point in a person's existence, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him on that day as well from all evils, from Jahannam, etc., from all the tortures and the difficulties and the anxieties and the stress that others will have to go through on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. Such is Isa, son of Maryam. Such is Isa, son of Maryam. قَوْلَ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي فِيهِ يَمْتَرُونَ. To say the truth in which they are disputing. Meaning again, back to referring to the Christians and the Jews about the different beliefs, and on one side the accusations, on the other side the elevation, over elevation of status of Isa alayhi salam. Allah dispels everything. After giving us this, painting this whole picture of 2-3 generations, and then this amazing characteristic and this amazing person, Isa alayhi salam, Allah says, this is Isa alayhi salam. Not just Isa, this is Isa bin Maryam. Not Isa son of Allah. Isa son of Maryam. Isa the son of God. This is the true thing. This is the reality. This is the reality behind Isa alayhi salam, his mother, his generation. The reality is this, and this is what you are disputing. This is what you are arguing about. This is what you are accusing her about. This is what you are pointing fingers about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paints us this whole picture to show us that Isa alayhi salam is a great individual. He is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his mother was pure and chaste. Now there's a few more verses which talk about Isa alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam, etc. But obviously we've gone over quite a bit. So inshallah we'll continue with this next Friday, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the love of the Prophet, the love of understanding the Quran, and to understand and to implement the lessons of the Quran into our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka.